Your school ways are apparent here. We got rebel flags flying and Budweiser beer. Plenty of snow in the middle of June. On a hot and muggy afternoon. Line by line, Ben Ideas. It's life in Dixie with these Alabama.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning, awaiting the arrival of State Senator Clyde Chambliss. But in the meantime, we'll get to some of your texts. 251-343-0106. Need to be in touch with the program. All you do is text me. Still to come about an hour from now, State Senator Arthur Orr as well. So that will round out today's showcase of lawmakers. Let's see. Keith writes, the healthy food costs more. A lot of times people buy what's less expensive, and that's not always the healthy choice. Well, I mean, what's more expensive, a banana or a candy bar? I don't know where you shop at, but or an apple or whatever, you know, the sugary. I mean, we buy a lot of candy, obviously, because we have children now, and they love it. But all you got to do is that's the, you know, the cost benefit analysis. If you're curious about that, the DEI texture, they banned legislators from using taxpayer funded pay on luxury items. He says Coca-Cola's, whatever. Jason, what do you make of the games played by Doug Harwell in the state senate race? And Rusty Glover's response is this politics as usual, dirty trick tactics from Harwell. I don't know. I'm totally not keeping up with that. And y'all caught me off guard on this one, but I promise to get caught up on that in the coming days. Pat, one peak care lesbian mom is going to send this bill straight to the state Supreme Court. This one won't last long. Talking about the prayer in schools constitutional amendment. But maybe you're right. I think that they're really careful with that. If they are trying to test the federal courts, then they've crafted it in a way that passes muster with those guys. That's my suspicion. But I think there's something to it. And like I said, you know, it's not that you want state organized religion in your public schools. But I could deal without the hostility toward religion. That we do have a problem with that. That there's a progressive mindset in the classroom. You know, not every teacher. There's some very good, God-fearing Christian teachers in our public schools. But there are also those elements of hostility that it's not really a solution. That's just crazy talk. And they pass that along to their classroom. And I think that's wholly inappropriate. And I think something like this kind of gets at that problem. Joining us now here in the what we'll call the we're at the reapportionment room here at the third floor of the State House, State Senator Clyde Chambliss. Senator, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, thanks for coming by, man.
Absolutely.
You're a busy man these days, huh?
It's crazy times, but here we are, two-thirds of the way through the session and trying to keep things moving and get done.
Two-thirds, it seems like an eternity this year. that's just the nature of the State House, I suppose. We'll get right into it here, and this is important stuff. Your Public Service Commission bill. Early on, now we're a little more than 12 hours into it kind of hitting the pavement here, but it seems like it's getting kind of a favorable response.
So far, there's obviously concerns and questions, but, you know, the overriding issue is that in the year 2000, we had the 13th lowest energy rates in the nation. Now, 26 years later, I think it was 25, you know, the data lags a little bit, but we're 28th. So we're headed in the wrong direction. In 2000, there was only one that had cheaper rates than us. Now everybody has cheaper rates than us except for Florida. So we're headed in the wrong direction. And this is costing the taxpayers, the citizens of Alabama, millions and millions, billions of dollars in the rates that they pay. So obviously we've got to figure out how we keep that from continuing in the future. We're almost, you know, in 2000, we were 82% of the national average, our rate. Now our rate is 92% of the national average. Now we're getting up there where only the really, really high cost states are above us. We're above everybody else. So anyway, it's a trend headed in the wrong direction.
Well, we'll get into the bill itself here, but you kind of look at it, the broader problem. You shrink the cost. I mean, is it that the profitability of it is just too enticing that that's why we pay? Or are there some underlying things that make it so in Alabama where we have to pay a higher utility rate?
Well, I'm sure there'll be someone that'll help me understand why as we go. I see of no significant reason why we should be increasing higher than our surrounding states. We still have all the same dams we had back then. We have not put any out of commission. Maybe there's coal is a little bit different, but so are the other states.
Right.
So I don't see why
it's not like a regulatory thing or some kind of law. I would imagine it makes an impediment to force the you know the electric company or what power company or whatever to raise its rates, right?
Well, the way I understand it is they look at cost and then they are guaranteed a rate of return on that cost.
Gotcha.
If you're always guaranteed a rate of return, you never tighten your belt. You never have to tighten your belt. So state government, us in our individual lives, as the economy goes, when those downturns come, we have to tighten our belt. And I think that this is a step towards forcing that to happen.
Do other states guarantee a certain profit margin like we do?
You know, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But as we go through this process, the public hearing this afternoon, all that, all that
we'll
information,
that
I'll be fine. And that is the legislative process. No one person's going to know everything going into things. So you develop a bill that you think, based on all the information that you can gather, is going to hit the mark, and then others will come in and say why they think it doesn't.
Gotcha.
And sometimes you agree with them, sometimes you don't.
So this bill, and it's getting a lot of press today, but I guess in the interim you're going to appoint some commissioners, I should say, but expand it to 7, and then ultimately in the long run we'll elect them from each congressional district.
That's right. We want to return the power to the people for deciding who those commissioners are. We want there to be representation on all four corners of the state and everywhere in between. That's not been the case back as far as I have looked so far. Maybe there was at one time, but not in the last 20, 30 years anyway. So let's get representatives in each of the 7 congressional districts.
Because every congressional district, you know, you got TVA in the north, most of the state's Alabama Power, you got Power South, in sort of the southern part of the state. It's a mixed bag.
Everywhere's right. A little bit different. Not only who their power suppliers may be, but also just the economy in general. Or
how much
areas
power they're
growing,
using. Yeah.
Areas not growing. You know, there's a lot that needs, all that needs to be put into the pot to try to figure all this out. And electing, I think it's by 2030, all of these positions will be elected. That is to me the ultimate.
4 years away, and it's all voter controlled.
All 100% voter controlled. I'd love to do that right now, and we've looked at ways to do it and options, and there'll be second guessing of how we get there to where we. I think everybody.
But will these be staggered? So what?
That's the whole thing. We want to be able to get them staggered so that long term, we have 2 or 3 at a time being elected instead of like the whole board. We don't want that. We want that continuity. And when you have new people coming in, you have some continuity. So that's part of all of that. It in the short term, I'd prefer not to do it that way. But to get those staggers and everything where we need them to be, that's what we have to do. And to have a protection We're making it illegal for those rates to be raised until we have a majority that are elected.
Gotcha.
So that's the magic
that
behind what we're trying
to
do.
Yeah.
Well, it can be lowered, but it cannot go up. It's illegal for it to go up.
Well, then, so once let's say this passes, it gets through the House, and then it gets to the governor's desk, hypothetically. Then is it immediate? Like, when does it take it? When does this part of it take
effect? Yeah, the effective date is June 1st, and then there's a process. Another check and balance that we put in there is that the governor will have to choose from a list that is submitted by the pro tem, the lieutenant governor, and the speaker. So there's another level of accountability there.
The way they were wanted to initially with the first proposal,
I think that might have been a part of that first proposal, but that first proposal was appointing all three, and that does not head us in the right direction. I'm not for that, was never for that, but going to seven elected, that I think moves us in the right direction to really, again, put that power back to the people to decide.
So, and you get this, the thing you hear a lot about this issue, the and I don't know why it's the silver unicorn, people want a rate hearing or, you know, are there built-in provisions that would require things of that nature?
There is a hearing required, an annual hearing required. We've never had that before. I've been told, I hadn't researched it, but I've been told we hadn't had a hearing like this since the 1980s. This will be an annual requirement, and we've done that on some other things. So hearing from the people direct is never a bad thing. That's what we're here for, and this law will require that to happen annually.
Because I don't know what the rate hearing accomplishes other than allowing the public to air their grievances or whatever they want to voice to the state government. But beyond that, you know, do you get anything out of it?
Well, I liken it to another sensitive topic with the Department of Corrections. We started mandatory annual public hearings, I think it was 3 years ago, and that has made a difference because we get to hear directly from those impacted, and that's what we'll have on the power side. We'll be hearing directly from the people, the ones that are paying the rates, and hear directly from them. And in my opinion, that communication, that education
right.
of legislators will have a positive effect over time.
Well, and so let's walk through this part of it, the process going forward. It sounds like you're moving pretty fast, Senate. Where are we on that? Talk about that timeline.
We'll be in committee this afternoon. There will be a public hearing, and we will listen to both proponents and opponents, and hopefully I'll have a proponent there. I don't know. It might just be me, but we'll see. But anytime you do anything like this, there are always unintended consequences, so we'll listen for those, see if we can correct those, if it's certainly unintended. Now, there are some intended consequences here, and those may be up for adjustment, but not up for, gutting. So we'll listen to all that and try to figure out, are we hitting the mark? We're a little bit off. Do we need to adjust? And we'll go from there.
So, I mean, and immediately out of the gate here, like I said, just kind of around the State House and just kind of out in the ether, sounds favorable. Is this, I mean, what's been the feedback so far? Have you heard from people who are like, whoa, this isn't what we want?
I've heard from one in particular, and we sat down this morning. He expressed his concerns, and I expressed why I thought this bill actually addressed his concerns. We went back and forth for 30 minutes or so. I don't know that I convinced him, yeah, I'm going to support that, but he at least understands that there's reasons why we put what we put in the bill. So we'll see. People, communication is king. And the more that we talk about it and the more that we let people know why we're doing what we're doing and what our thoughts are, we'll continue to get that feedback and, make adjustments as we need to.
Well, as far as timeline goes, I mean, we're two-thirds of the way through the session. Is it Is it going to have to be a little expedited, you think, to get it to where it needs to be before y'all sign and die?
Yes and no. We only have to have 5 legislative days
right.
to get a bill from introduction to final passage. So we have twice that many days. But as we get toward the end of the session, there's a lot of sand trying to get through that hourglass, a lot of oil trying to get through the funnel. And this is a big enough issue, though. Again, ratepayers in Alabama are paying billions and billions of dollars. It's that important. So I think we'll have a good hearing, good expedited through the process, and we'll see if we can get it done.
And the fourth year of a quadrennium, and it kind of came out of nowhere when it was first presented. And I don't think we were really braced for something like this year. If I had told you back in December, we'd be looking at revamping the Public Service Commission. Would you believe that?
I would not have. You could have told me even later in the year, early this year, and yeah. I still wouldn't. But, you know, that's we are a reactive body. We try to be proactive on occasion, and you know, there's always pushback on that. Why are you doing
solution
looking for a problem,
this, right,
that kind of
yeah.
stuff. But we try to do that. But mostly the nature of it is we're reactive, and when there's issues that are brought to our attention, issues that come up, then we try to react to them.
Well, Senator, I know you get to a committee meeting, but thank you for stopping by and talking about this bill.
Hey, thank you. I always appreciate being on.
Hey, State Senator Clyde Chambliss is becoming a regular on the Jeff Poore Show here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
From a Southern Democrat, they ought to get a rich man to vote like that. Singing song of the South, sweet potato pie, and I shut my mouth. Gone with the wind, they ain't